This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
As summer approaches, it seems everyone is worried about gas prices. And Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has 10 Chevy models offering 30 mpg highway or better. The 2012 Equinox at 32, the all-new Sonic at 35, the Impala at 30, the Cruze at 39, and the all-new 2013 Malibu at 37. At Smokey Jennings, they're on the ground and ready to sell. 35 cars and Equinoxes in stock. Smokey Jennings is ready to show you why their customers rate them in the top 5 for customer satisfaction in the St. Louis region. Smokey Jennings, family-owned and operated since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
It's 10 minutes after 6 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. First of all, in our farm show today, the DTN general opening call for later this morning. Expect corn to open about a nickel lower, beans 18 to 20 lower, wheat about a penny lower. The overnight crude oil market, $1.59 lower at $92.39. The Brent crude, $1.34 lower at $110.90. The June gold contract, $20.90 lower at $1,536.20. The U.S. dollar index, 0.163 higher at 81.383. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at 608.5, up 10.25. September wheat closed at 622.25, up 9.5. December wheat closed at 643.75, up 8.5. July corn yesterday closed at 597.25, up 14.25. September corn closed at 523, up 8.5. December corn closed at 514.5, up 9. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1413, up 26. August beans closed at 1393.75, up 21. September beans closed at 1340, up 13.25. July soybean meal yesterday closed at 417.20, up 137. August meal closed at 405.70, up 108. September meal closed at 388.70, up 81. July soybean oil yesterday closed at 51.47, up 17. August oil closed at 51.68, up 18. September oil closed at 51.88, up 17. July oats yesterday closed at 330.25, up 1.75. September oats closed at 335.25, up 2.25. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois winter grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon, with soybean futures sharply higher. Export interest and strong soybean meal futures helped to move soybean values higher. In the cash grain markets, trading was slow to moderate. Strong cash basis levels at the Gulf helped to strengthen corn basis at many river terminals. In central Illinois, Country Grain Dealers quoted those shell corn bids 13 to 14 cents higher at 6.15 to 6.32, and soybean bids were up 27 to 28 cents at 13.89 to 14.03. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids gained 14 to 16 cents at 6.20 to 6.44. Soybeans were up 26 to 28 cents at 13.97 to 14.17. And the wheat bids ended 10 to 12 cents higher at 5.82 to 6.07. In the St. Louis area, Country Elevators and Mills reported corn bids 13 to 14 cents stronger, ranging from 6.24 to 6.32. Soybeans advanced 26 to 32 cents at 13.97 to 14.08. And the wheat price is up 10 to 13 at 6.02 to 6.07. Illinois River Barsling Elevators quarter producer corn bids 19 to 24 cents stronger at 6.27 to 6.35. Soybeans gained 28 up to 37 cents at 14.10 to 14.18. And the new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery up 8 to 11 at 5.99 to 6.09. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators place their producer corn bids 14 to 20 cents stronger at 6.39 to 6.47. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 27 to 32 cents with quotations at 14.25 to 14.33. Softer header winter wheat up 17 cents on Tuesday at 6.27 to 6.28. And the Milo gained 14 cents at 5.63 to 5.64. That is our Country Grain Report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, June hogs closed at 86.40, up 102. July hogs closed at 87.40, up 187. August hogs closed at 87.70, up 195. June cattle yesterday, 116.42, up 27. August cattle closed at 118.72, up 27. October cattle closed at 123.65, up 50. May feeder cattle yesterday closed at 149.42, unchanged. August feeders closed at 157.67, up 47. September feeders closed at 159.15, up 65. Once again, we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Tuesday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt daily direct afternoon hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis total 4,065 head today. They traded $1.15 higher from 73 to 83.5 with a weighted average of 75.74. And in Illinois today, there was 14,600 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a loin was up a quarter at 82.24. Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Bull Report, sows traded mostly steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 40 to 43, 4 to 5 weights from 41 to 46, and over 500 pounds traded from $44 to $50. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again today from 52 to 55. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Tuesday, hogs are at 415,000 on the day. That's the same as last week and up 3,000 from a year ago. Cattle are at 126,000 on today. That's the same as last week. However, it's down 3,000 from last year. The USDA estimated box beef choice cutout values. There was a total of 170 fabricated loads and 39 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up 58 pennies at 191.61, and selects were up $1.38 at 187.08, leaving the choice select spread at $4.53. At the Shelbyville Livestock Auction opening report, they estimate 310 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading $1 lower, while slaughter Holsteins were trading steady to a dollar higher. Choice cattle were at $1.20 to $1.27, while select and choice steers were at $1.15 to $1.20. Choice Holsteins from $1.12 to $1.17, and choice heifers trading from $1.20 to $1.22.75. Thank you. This has been Joe Massey. Now back to the main studios of WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, the spot price for butter, 135 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. For block cheese, 150 unchanged, and for barrel cheese, 145 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk yesterday ended at 15.25. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, 620. For June, 603. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, 619. For June, 595. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, $13.93. For June, $14.04. And the price for wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.87. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening price is, once again, corn at Greenfield, $6.20, corn at Scottville, $6.19, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $13.93, wheat at Scottville, $5.87. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. Color Radar shows no precipitation in the Mid-Illinois listening area. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company.
What is farming smart? It means choosing seed that fits your operation's goals. Select hybrids and varieties of FS High Soy brand soybeans that are part of a comprehensive cropping plan. That's FS Seed and FS Green Plan Solutions from M&M Service Company. That's farming smart. And farming smart always begins with FS Seed. Talk to M&M Service Company today to learn how FS High Soy brand soybeans and FS Green Plan Solutions can maximize every one of your acres. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the mid-70s with light and variable winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 50s. For tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, the high in the low 80s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, mostly clear, lows in the mid-60s, highs in the mid-80s. Right now at the Weather Center, light west winds, the barometric pressure rising. Our temperature, 63 degrees under mostly clear skies. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by Hickory Grove Family Farms, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. In our farm news today, the Illinois Wheat Association held the Southern Illinois Wheat Tour Tuesday in the southern sections of the state. It began at Minnell Milling in Mount Olive and continued in Macoupin, Montgomery, and Madison counties. We talked to the manager of Minnell, Mark Miller, about the early wheat crop and its quality. He said that the early wheat crop should not be a big problem.
Generally speaking, we're always ready to get in a new into the new crop in mid-June, so we'll be a couple weeks early, but the only thing it kind of affects for us right now is how much wheat we're going to carry over, and we were going to carry over a fair amount of wheat anyway, so it really doesn't, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference to us.
What is a fair amount of wheat for you?
We've got our bins actually about half full, right at a half a million bushels, not quite. Typically, we're going to be down about a quarter full. We usually try to get pretty well cleaned out prior to harvest. And that's basically a function of the market. But this year, with the quality concerns, a little bit of the frost concerns, we decided to carry over more wheat.
Was that frost concern, is that one of the quality concerns?
It was at the time. We were a little concerned that maybe we were going to see some damage to the crop. I don't think it really materialized, so to speak, but we were prepared. I guess we made a preemptive strike there. We prepared ahead of time.
So, how did you prepare there?
Well, we went out and bought a little bit more wheat. We were a little bit more aggressive with our bid back in early March, and so we were able to buy a little wheat that we may have passed on before, you know, if we didn't have that worry.
What if the wheat you buy ahead of time like that and the wheat you'll take in here in just a few days, the quality doesn't quite match up? Is that a problem? Can you blend it?
Yeah, we'll blend it out throughout the year. If we don't get the quality we want at harvest, you know, we'll go out and find it somewhere.
What's the best quality you want?
Well, we, you know, anymore, we're looking for a decent test weight, but really, we're more concerned with falling number and to make sure the wheat hasn't been sprouted. Our customers really require a good sound wheat, so we don't want anything that's been sprouted or anything like that. You know, test weight anymore, we can deal with test weight. We can either do a little bit more thorough cleaning, take some of the light stuff out if we have to. Vomitoxin obviously is always a concern. We'll be looking for that today. I think the incident rate of that, hopefully, will be pretty low this year, but that's always a concern.
Now, vomitoxin in wheat that we're looking at right now, that's, as you said, about a week or two away from thrashing, what were we looking for vomitoxin?
Well, we'll be looking out here today for white heads. Some obvious signs are a pinkish hue to some of these heads. I see a couple standing here right now. Those could also be attributed to frost, from what I understand. So we'll be looking for that. The pinkish hue will kind of tell us today whether we're going to see that or not. That's really what we're looking for.
Also on the wheat tour was agronomist for Steyr Seed of Mason City, Jake Evans, and he comments.
Not looking extremely great, but it's not as bad as it could be, I guess. We're kind of in between as far as, yep, you know, what we're seeing. There's a lot of disease in these fields, but I wouldn't say any of them have been managed for intensive yields. So,
but as far as the quality you're looking for, it probably doesn't meet your standards, does it?
There's a lot of diseases out here I'd like to see controlled.
Yeah, I'm not
earlier on.
There's
not. I mean, I'd like to see a little bit thicker wheat, a little bit more nitrogen applied on this. A lot of it seems to be a little bit lacking in some nitrogen. We've not noticed any downed wheat, so I'm assuming, nitrogen levels were lower than
a lot of corn being.
The weather hasn't been optimum for wheat this over the winter, has it?
I mean, it stayed dry, and that's always good for a wheat crop. Wheat doesn't like really wet, but the high temperatures we had in early April, late March, were probably sped the wheat up a little bit quicker than we'd like to have seen. I mean, the heading date was 3 weeks earlier than normal, so I don't know that grain fill's going to take longer. I mean, I'm kind of having a hard time judging what the wheat's going to do. If it stays warm, it might be quicker to harvest, but if it cools down, it might carry on.
The weather's supposed to stay like what we're having today for the next several.
It could speed this wheat crop up quite a bit. Dry and warm, it's going to.
Now, how many bushel will you do you handle in a year?
On the seed side of things,
yeah.
I think Mason City plant moves probably 6,000 units of wheat seed, and Ohio, where our head company is, they move well over 100,000 units of wheat. But this past year, Ohio didn't get much wheat in. I think they got a third of the crop in.
Well, it's kind of seemed like nobody wants to plant it anymore anyway.
Wheat's become the secondary crop. I mean, it's kind of the placeholder for corn these days. But, I factor in, if we can get a good wheat crop and then get a good double crop soybean off of it, it becomes profitable again. I think wheat's going to have a place in a lot of people's rotation just to kind of even it up, and there's a lot of farmers that enjoy getting the paycheck in the middle of the summer, so it kind of alleviates some
help pay some bills.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So I think it's always going to have a part in Illinois ag. I don't know if it's going to be the big player it used to be, but that could all change.
It could. It could. Well, I think a lot of folks around here grow it for straw. Now, do you look for straw quality too when you check fields like this?
We do. I've got farmers that want straw, so we select varieties that are going to have more straw to them. Again, a fungicide application gives you the bright straw that a lot of people like, so we move into the fungicide and trying to raise a straw crop also, but high straw yields usually equates to high wheat yields too, grain yields, so we try to get a good mix of both in there.
That's right. That's not altogether bad, is it?
I hope not. And there is a pretty good market for the straw right now. So, we'll continue going on down the road, whatever the farmer needs. And he knows his operation, and we try to fit what we got with what they need.
That was agronomist for Steyr Seed, Jake Evans. Right now, we'll update the crop conditions from the United States Department of Agriculture. We join Brad Schwab.
Statewide temperatures were reported near normal, averaging 62 degrees, while rainfall accumulations came in at 67 one-hundredths of an inch, which was 34 one-hundredths below normal for the seven-day period ending May 13th. Drier conditions from the previous week provided 4.4 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% very short, 10% short, 75% adequate, and 13% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was rated at 82% adequate or surplus, down 4 percentage points from last week. The wettest crop reporting district based on topsoil moisture supplies was the West Southwestern District, with a rating of 73% adequate and 25% surplus. Corn planting is nearing completion and now stands at 95%. This compares to 59% planted last year and 65% for the five-year average. Corn emergence advanced to 76%, and this compares to only 19% last year and 35% for the five-year average. The average height of all corn now stands at 5 inches. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn progress was the Eastern District, where 94% of the seed is sprouted and emerged. Soybean planting advanced 23 percentage points in just 1 week and now stands at 44% complete. This compares to 12% a year ago and 21% for the five-year average. 14% was reported emerged, compared to 1% a year ago and 3% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean progress was the Southeastern District, where 30% had been reported emerged by week's end. Sorghum planting advanced to 42% complete, compared to 1% a year ago and 8% for the five-year average. The advancement in the maturity of the 2012 soft red winter wheat crop is on a record pace, with 57% of the heads being reported as filled. This compares with 5% reported on this date last year and for the five-year averages. 20% of the crop was also reported as turning yellow. The winter wheat crop was rated as mostly good to excellent condition. Red clover, pastures, and alfalfa were all rated in mostly good condition, and the first cutting of alfalfa advanced to 42% complete, compared to 3% last year and 6% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
United States pork exports continue to grow. According to the United States Meat Export Federation, Joe Sheely has more.
After setting new records for both volume and value last year, U.S. pork exports have gained even stronger momentum in 2012. Through the first quarter, year-over-year exports were up 8% in volume to 1.32 billion pounds and stood 20% higher in value at $1.66 billion. In March, export value per head slaughtered set an all-time monthly record of nearly $60. USMEF Chairman Danita Rodabaugh, a pork producer from Rensselaer, Indiana, says these results, especially the record export value per head, serve as a reminder of how critical pork exports are to producer profitability.
I think it's exciting. Our predictions, not only from USMEF, but also other economists, were that our exports would be challenged this year. But for pork, they were surprisingly up. And, you know, we continue to see some positive returns in the export area, and especially when we look at value per head. And we're just shy of $60 per head returned because of the export markets. Over the last few years especially, we've continued to see how important that is to our bottom line as producers, the return on the export dollar. And we know how important to profitability that export value is.
Exports to the top volume market, Mexico, were up 17% in the first quarter in both volume and value.
Just in March, we were up 10% over last year. And even though we saw the export volumes there for March were just a little bit smaller than the previous 3 months, you know, we continue to see a lot of pork moving into the Mexican market.
And in Japan, where U.S. pork exports hit nearly $2 billion last year, export value was up another 17%.
You know, the value return for the Japan market is phenomenal. We continue to see opportunities there in Japan.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
And once again, the DTN general opening call for later this morning. Expect corn to open about a nickel lower, beans 18 to 20 lower, wheat about a penny lower. The overnight crude oil market, $1.59 lower at $92.39. Brent crude, $1.34 lower at $110.90. The June gold contract, $20.90 lower at $1,536.20. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106, beginning with the opening commodity markets this morning at 9:32 from Sorrell's Farm Supply in Raymond. Part two of the Morning Farm Show this morning brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by Hickory Grove Family Farms, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.